News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
And an Observer investigation has revealed that dating apps are increasingly pressurising users to purchase costly extras, some of which have been compared to gambling products and can amount to hundreds of pounds or euros annually on these apps. And Luke Brunning, lecturer in ethics at the University of Leeds, joins us this morning. Luke, for people who are unfamiliar perhaps with what we're talking about on dating apps, what are these extras that people are being pressurised to purchase?
Well, there's a variety of options, but essentially it's a kind of upgrade from a free version of the service to a service that's either offering you increased visibility on a platform or the option to essentially pay to contact people in a way that might be impossible on the free version. So you're getting a kind of premium tier product, a bit like you might get with kind of in-app purchasing on other kinds of applications.
Okay, so you're going up to a premier, but it isn't like hotter guys behind this paywall. It's
yeah, if only. I mean, usually it's about visibility and it's about access and communication.
Okay.
So maybe an analogy might be with forms of kind of online sales like Vinted or eBay, where you might be able to pay to kind of boost a product you're trying to sell.
So you're
trying to sort of boost yourself.
And you are the product, so you are boosting yourself. But you have certainly compared this to loot boxes on video games, which are often targeted at quite young people and are often touted as almost like a form of gambling. Explain.
Well, this is a kind of underexplored area, but there are some researchers, particular Guy Booker de Vries, who are kind of concerned that the structure of these paid subscription offering does look similar to other kinds of regulated gambling product, where essentially what you're doing is you're offering a consumer a kind of increased chance of a positive outcome that they value for a fee. I guess the worry is that, like lots of forms of online gambling, the consumer doesn't really know, they don't have a lot of transparency around the kind of likely increase of outcome or positive outcome. They're not really sure how the process works. They're just going on what they're told.
Okay, so you could pay this upgrade of your membership, for example, and really it doesn't increase your chances of scoring very much at all. You just don't know.
I think that's the thing. It's that people don't really have transparency around the issue. And so people might feel, look, I've been on an app for a while. I'm not having much success. I want to improve my chances. You know, it'd be reasonable to try and pay a little bit extra to get a kind of improved product.
Yeah.
But I think the consumer's not really got a clear grasp on what an improvement might look like in this situation. And there's a range of other kind of worries that we might associate with these offerings. So users that may already have a kind of a sense of existing entitlement to other people's attention, and it's usually men that feel entitled to the attention of women, might think, well, I'm paying for this now. I'm paying for a better product. Why am I not getting dates, or why are people not talking to me? So there's a kind of concern about like the social impact of these offerings if they're not really explored and thought about more.
Okay, so if you're paying for something, you might feel entitled to something is kind of what you're saying there, I think.
I think that's the concern, right?
Okay.
That, you know, we feel entitled to a better
also,
service.
I'm kind of torn on this one, the idea that that people are being exploited because they are vulnerable and maybe in some cases not, I don't want to use the word desperate, but they really want to meet someone. So it's kind of preying on that yearning and that vulnerability that people have, that's what this is doing.
I think absolutely. So, I mean, the use of the word vulnerability can seem kind of negative, but I mean, if you've got just strong hopes that you're going to meet someone or it's really important to you, or you've been trying this for a long time, then of course you're kind of more susceptible to these offerings.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that apps are really thinking about safeguarding those users in the way that maybe gambling companies or other kind of companies might be doing. And so I think we need a kind of broader social conversation about how these products are.
I suspect gambling companies are only doing it because they've been compelled to do it. But
exactly.
Yeah, you're saying maybe these should be compelled to. But I suppose the flip side of that about, you know, are we exploiting vulnerable people who you know, really, really want to meet somebody? No one has to go on these apps. It's a choice adults make. It's an autonomous choice. They have agency over themselves, or at least they should do. So some people might say interfering in this space, you know, like it's always been tricky to find somebody. There's always been vulnerability, even pre-dating apps. You can have your heart broken. Anyone can. So should we just let the wild west of dating apps exist because that's kind of how life is? Is that a fair argument
I'm not convinced by that argument. So it's maybe similar to saying, look, before the existence of social media, you could kind of walk up to somebody and assault them on the street verbally if you wanted to, or abuse them.
But we should regulate social media.
Well, this is the thing. So like there is an interesting argument to be explored in the background here about whether these products are kind of changing social norms and how we actually interact. And so there is some thinking that, look, we've been using as a society these apps for a decade or more now, and it is slowly changing dating norms, and people are becoming more accustomed to interacting online, perhaps less accustomed or a little bit more suspicious about interacting offline. And certainly my students in their kind of early 20s report that to me every year, that it's kind of changed how dating is working. And I think we do need to have that conversation about how these apps can be working for people and whether people are vulnerable. And I think also just people, there's this argument that we can walk away from them. And I think that's quite unrealistic in the modern age. I think apps are kind of so entrenched in our lives.
And it's how young people do meet. There's no question. And older people too now, obviously. Look, thank you for highlighting all that with us this morning. That is Luke Brunning, their lecturer in ethics at the University of Leeds. Let us know, are you someone who's on dating apps? And partly I'm also wondering, is this the biggest issue on dating apps, that you're being sold, you know, possibly useless upgrades? Is that the issue, or is all the other stuff that goes on dating apps that makes them tricky for people? People do say they're very sleazy and very sort of, people are very transactional and disposable on them. Love to know what you think this morning on the show. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.